big plans today. I hope you get to have your nap today. I hope that you don't have to mow. Let's put it that way, right? I hope that your kids treat you well today. You know, I want you to know real quick that it is, first off, I consider it an honor to be a father. And everybody that walked in this morning, I guarantee you probably feel the same way. But there's probably those moments in your life you're like, can I trade them in? Right? There's also those moments you go, man, that father moment, not good. Can I rewind, delete, and start over? Right? And you kind of want to tell your kids, hey, don't use that one against me. Just forget about it. Erase it. Right? The great thing, though, is my desire as a dad is first for my kids to know that my life points to God. And as a father, I'm seeking out His wisdom, His grace, His mercy, His love. And the moments that I fall short, God, my Father, shows me grace, mercy, and lifts me up. And I desire the same out of my kids, to lift them up when they fail, to show them grace and mercy, to let them know that it is not hold against them, that I look at them the same eyes that I hope that God, I know God looks at me, right? That's my desire as a dad. That's our desire as a parent. That's my hope. Even when our kids fail us and they become the prodigal son or daughter, the amazing thing with God is we always see the hope in it. And that knowing God can restore anything and everything is such a blessing, especially as a parent. I look at it this way too, that no matter how bad I mess things up, God's in control. And He's bigger than me, and He can take care of it. Now, it doesn't give me an excuse to be a bad parent. Not at all. But I want you to know that God is bigger than our mistakes, especially as a parent. And I look at the grace and mercy that I look at my kids and see how amazing they are. And I'm going to be that way. I'm going to be that parent. I look at my kids, and they can do wrong. They have done wrong. But in my eyes, they're perfect. And I wouldn't want any other kid but the ones that I have been given, right? And I'm pretty sure every parent probably feels that deep within. There might be some times where you're like, can I trade them in? Please, find a new one. But God is big. Anyway, happy Father's Day. And all that it entails, all that looks like of how to be a father today, may we seek out God's wisdom in all this, right? As a parent, we navigate in areas that our parents didn't have to navigate so much. It's a little bit different now. May we seek out God's wisdom being a parent. May we seek out other parents' wisdom as being a parent. And more importantly, may our kids know that we love God so much that it just oozes out of us when they squeeze us, even in the rough times. Right? All right. Last week, we started a sermon series called Connect. All right? Maybe it works, maybe it don't. There we go. We'll try it again. All right. This is who we're going to be. We're going to be Connect, Grow, Serve. This is what we're going to follow. This is the kind of thought process that we want to be. Now, don't look at this. This isn't the final touch here, all right? All right? But we're going to have something like this all over our place. We want people to know we're a church that connects with people and God, and then connects them to God, right? And then we want to be a church that grows. And immediately you kind of go, okay, negative. All he wants is numbers. You know, it would be nice to have every seat filled up, but it's not because of me that I want it to be filled up. I want it to be an opportunity that we are sitting in the presence of God, and these people are in here, and it's rocking, and it's rolling, and we're like, man, this is better than a concert, right? And we are hearing God's word, and God is speaking. And again, this isn't me. I try really hard to just keep every message to Scripture. And there are moments I walk home and I'm like, too many jokes, too many things, you know? And it just dwells in me. It's just how it is. But I would love for us to grow numerically. But you know what? I think God really wants to see us grow spiritually. I think that's his number one thing. When you read Scripture, he wants to have the deepest relationship that he could ever have with you personally. Insert your name right there. He wants a personal, growing relationship. And when you grow, if you're a farmer, you don't want to see your corn just stuck here, right? I guess that's close to me. By July, right? We want it high, right? We want to keep going. We want to see that growth happen, right? And if we start to see the growth stunted, something's wrong. I want us to evaluate this in the format of our spiritual walk. That there is some point along the way that we have gotten stuck spiritually and we have not grown. And I don't think there's an ever end point to this growth. I don't think there's an end point to my son growing right now. I'm tired of already looking up to him, right? But I know there's going to be a point physically where he hits the ceiling and never grows again, right? Spiritually, there's not a ceiling. Spiritually, there's not an end point until we are sitting in his presence face to face and we go walk. He says to us, walk him home, good and faithful servant. And that's it, right? But from this point on, the moment that we said yes to Jesus Christ, guess what? It is a journey that never ends. It is one that we need to be growing. It is one that we need to be seeking. It is one that we need to nourish. And we want to be a church that grows spiritually. All right? So we look to plan events. We look to plan our ministries around this idea. And then we want to be a church that serves. We want to be a church that looks at each other and go, okay, where are the needs that we can love each other? I mean, Scripture in the New Testament talks about this nonstop. Taking care of their widows and orphans. Taking care of our elderly. Taking care of each other. Taking care of those who just made poor decisions and we don't put restrictions on it. We say, okay, you're welcome. Let us help you. Let us love you. Let us help you grow you. Let me help you train you up to a way that is smart and wise and work for it, right? Serve is also an opportunity for us to get out into our community and love them unconditionally. To show them, hey, we are a church that cares, right? So we want to make sure that if there's an opportunity to feed somebody, we're going to take it. If there's an opportunity to clothe somebody, we're going to take it. If you read Scripture, right, who did you just clothe and feed? Jesus. I could end the sermon right there, right? Think about that. This is who we want to be. Today, it's our second sermon on Connect. We're going to focus on Connect for this series, all right? And last week, we talked about the initial connection is between us and God. And the desire that God loves us so much that he sent his son to do what for us? To die for you, personally. First off, there's nothing I can say to give the depth of what needs to say there, what needs to be implied there, what needs to be inferred there, that God sent his son, his own being, to be with us, to show us love, to show us how to live in peace, to show us how to care for each other. We did it with the woman at the well who wasn't cared for, was abandoned, that she was an outsider within her own community and even was an outsider to the people in which Jesus was connected to. And Jesus went to this well thirsty, not for water, but relationship of making a connection with somebody that needed to be loved. And I'm going to tell you right now, whether you know it or not, you are all that person at the well. That Jesus is intentionally wanting to share a moment with you, to connect with you, to show that there's living water that you will never thirst again spiritually. Amen? I mean, that's amazing. Can you imagine spiritually just going, you know, I don't thrive for anything else. I don't worry about the worries of this world. I don't have passions that this world has. I know what's real. I know what God has in store for me, and it's bigger than anything here that I could ever imagine. Ever imagine. And that's the way I want to live from this day point. This woman got this connection. She understood it. She decided, all right, I want this living water. I want it. I need it. And then she went to her town, and she didn't care about any of the thing about people thought about her. She had a message of hope. And a town changed. They heard this, and guess what? That connection between her became a connection between them that were lost. And we're going to kind of talk about that next week. But this week, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be connected here this morning, and what it looks like to be connected as a church body that is centralized around Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at Hebrews. This is connect to others, really connect to us, all right? And we're going to look at Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, and also Hebrews 3. We're going to be kind of flipping back between those two, right? And before we start reading, well, I'll go ahead and read it. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That's a pretty cool word, unswervingly. All right? Can you guys say it with me? Unswervingly. All right, let's try one more time. Unswervingly. It's just a cool word, right? I think about being on a road where I'm just, whoo, whoo, right? But this is unswervingly. You are going down a straight path. You're not veering away. You're not going, and you're not looking any other way. Anybody have that tendency while you're driving to look this way and be like, oh, that's pretty. And then all of a sudden you can start to feel yourself floating out of your lane. Anybody? Anybody? All right, I'm not following you guys. Ha-ha! Trick. Just kidding. I kind of do it sometimes too, right? It reinforces don't drive with your cell phones. It's distracting. The same kind of thought process right here goes, don't do this with your faith. Keep your eyes straight ahead on God. Don't swerve, right? For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. All right? All right. This morning, it is Father's Day, and I started thinking about and things that, as a man in my family, that I have received. And there's like a Christmas thing, or a rite in my mom's side of the family, that when they consider you becoming a man at Christmas, you all suddenly get the men gifts, right? And it's like these garage towels. They're blue. They're durable. When I first got them, I couldn't rip them apart. Now I'm like, oh, yeah. I guess that's part of being the man. You start, yeah, right? You get tools. You get other stuff that's manly that you don't care about as a kid, right? And you get socks. It's just part of the deal, right? And the first time I started getting these gifts, I started thinking about, my first thought is, yes, I made it. Right? It's cool. And one of the things that they tend to give me is pocket knives and flashlights. And I started thinking about in terms of this message of like getting a flashlight that's an orb that's like a million lumens. You guys know what that is? A lot. It would burn my hand. Right? If it just sat in my hand, it would probably be really excruciating hot. You wouldn't want it. Now, I'm just thinking in ways maybe technology caught up and they were able to absorb all the heat, blah, 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 right? And you could have this light, and every which way was showing was this light. And the first time you get it, you're like, whoa! And like, you just light up a room. You walk in the darkest room, and you're like, this orb is the central sun to that room, right? If I were able to turn the lights off, don't do it, all right? I'm just checking if Chris is listening, all right? And I had this orb, it wouldn't matter. It is a million lumens. It would light this entire church up, right? And if we had that, it would be awesome. That would be one of the coolest gifts. I could just walk out at nighttime and make my neighbors mad, right? Just wake them up. But I started thinking about that in the process of connecting with Jesus, and this is what it is. We get the light of Christ in our life, and we become this brightest thing in the world that has ever seen, because all of a sudden we are filled with his joy, his spirit, his new life, and we are bright in this world that is dark. And then as we continue on, I start to realize something, that we have a tendency to go, oh, this is reflecting not just on others, but this is showing my areas that need to be worked on. And this is what we start to do. We start to, okay, let's cover that up while I'm in here. No, they don't need to know. I don't need people to see that. That's not, I'll do it this way. Okay, shine, right? But we limit where God's light shines because we don't want everybody else to see it. And I started thinking about church. Church is great. I love church. We probably come for, 2 hours, 3 hours at the most? And we sit here, we sing songs, we get excited to be in his presence, and it's awesome. I'll be honest, I love it because it's comfortable. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is so much, especially in the early church, that we miss out on, that is so much deeper and painful and life-changing, because they sit there and hold the light up against each other and say, okay, tell me what you see. How can I change? Can you imagine sitting in a service where I just said, okay, it's not going to be my turn. We're going to sit here and go, okay, this is where God needs to work on you. And we just took our time up here on the stool. Okay, it's my turn. show me where I'm wrong, what I need work with. Now, the problem with that is it becomes very judgmental. Right? And it can be very, like, it's just, it's not healthy the way we do it most of the time. Even back then, they would just put, if you did sin, they had a tendency to just cut you right off, right? Or make you do penance, or do things that are not healthy, and they didn't understand grace and mercy and salvation through Jesus the same way we understand Jesus. I read a quote, or somebody put it this way: we as a church, we crave intimacy, but we fear vulnerability. Let me repeat that for you. We crave intimacy, but we fear vulnerability. How can you have one without the other? You can't. If you're going to be intimate with Jesus, it means you're going to be vulnerable with Jesus. If you're going to be intimate with a brother or a sister in Christ, it means you're going to be intimate with them. If you're going to be that, you're going to be vulnerable with them just as well. It doesn't work any other way. You can't go, okay, I want a close relationship with you, but I want it one-sided. I want to be able to tell you everything. And I want to show you where you're wrong. I want to shine my light on you. You need it. It doesn't work that way. Church is, we are called to be brothers and sisters, to grow together, to move forward together. And able to do that, we need to be able to shine the light of Jesus on each other. And sometimes it's not the prettiest areas in our lives that need to be confronted, right? Another thing that was said, we crave acceptance but fear rejection. Do you know that I look at the world today, and this is one of the biggest things in which why they never come in the doors, is the ultimate first step is, will I be rejected? And not even by church people, but by God, right? I've moved here, and I've heard it here more, that I have friends that are willing to come to, like, they would love to come to church, but they think the moment I step through these doors, I will burn up or the church will burn up. Anybody heard that before? Yeah? Like, that limits God so much. And where do they get that? Do you think they get it from God that he's ready to burn them alive for their past mistakes? They don't even know who he is. He wants to show them grace and mercy and peace and then move them forward to grow. He wants them to be born again so they know there's love and life beyond this hell that they live in. They're so comfortable in that. They don't know that they're burning up already. Right? The problem is we as a church, we have a tendency to continue to have a flamethrower to light them up before they even know who Jesus is. And the reality is Jesus is first. Like I love baptism. Man, he's there with a bucket of water to bring refreshing life and new beginnings. To put that fire that they're in out, to show them that there's a new beginning. And I will tell you, those who have lived a rough life, yeah, they have amazing testimony when people actually share Jesus' love with them and don't look at them for what they've done wrong. Churches that are growing, churches that understand that we live in a broken world, realize that we are a hospital for the sick. We are the hospital for the broken. We are the hospital for those who are that deal with the hang-ups and hookups of this life. And those who are in the church already, they understand that they are a patient just as much as the next. That nobody in there has achieved doctorates of salvation. That they continue to need salvation daily. Right? Right? That's what church is. But the moment that we put ourselves above somebody else, guess what just happened? We were ready to go ahead and tell them, you know what? I'm better than you. Hell is your destination. Good luck. Imagine we go into that same relationship and go, Jesus loves you. Look at me. He loves me. Look where he brought me. Look what I've been through. And some of us don't have the same testimony as those that others have. But the reality is this. We can always say, I was this and now I'm this. Not because of my own desires or my own actions. It is because of what Jesus has done in my life. And I've said yes. And now I have this light and I can't help it. And I'm just going to keep talking. I want you to know this. I need you to know who Jesus is in my life. I need you to know because I want you to know there's a life preserver to this. There's a better way to this. And it's not by my own actions except for me just believing that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for me and you. Right? And it gets rid of that fear of rejection and vulnerability. Right? So we go to Proverbs, and he says this in Proverbs 29:25. He says, the fear of human opinion disables, but trusting in God protects us from that. It doesn't say go away from humans with opinions. It says, but in trusting God, we find that all that fear of what people believe and think and maybe even reside about me, God's bigger. I'll tell you what, this is the number one thing in which as a pastor, I battled with for years. I was always worried how I was working, how I was doing, how I thought, how I resided in your head, in your space. And if it wasn't good, I wanted to work on it. Hey, let me be better. And the reality is this, the only way that it can be worked is God just going, okay, I'll change it. Do you trust me? Can I do it? I love you right where you're at, and you're going to move. I'm going to continue to make you grow, and if you're with me, and don't worry about other people, what they think. God's got it. Do you know how freeing that is? There are moments as a minister that are unhealthy when I'm more worried about making sure I'm not upsetting you than doing what God has called me to do. That's a scary place to be. And I think it's not just for me to be in this. I think we have a tendency to do this. That we look at each other and like, hey, what we did it this way, isn't that good enough? And the group goes, yeah. And going against the grain, where Jesus went against the grain the entire time he was there on earth, right? He went against the grain of what they had set up. And he just basically said, you guys, listen, this is how we need to do church. It's an intimate moment with each other to grow in my presence. And in that, you need to be vulnerable and trust each other. Man. In Proverbs 27, it says this, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. A sweet friendship refreshes the soul. I hope you have that through the week. I hope that you can turn to somebody that's not even your spouse, and you can go and call them or text them and say, I need a word of encouragement. I hope you have that. Even as a man, I don't need it. I'm going to tell you right now, I need it. And I have it. He's not really connected to us. He's connected just to me. He's been a friend for the past 4 or 5 years. And I would tell you, there's been a moment in our life that he's busy, I'm busy, and we don't communicate. And I will tell you, there are moments where I'm like, all right, what's going on? I don't feel refreshed. And it's because we have not connected the way God intended us to connect it, to be connected, to love on each other, to say, hey, you got this. I've had moments where I've needed to hear, stop whining. Grow up. I needed to hear it. Right? This is what church looks like. Can you imagine having a buddy from over here go over here? Hey, I saw you not even today. You look grumpy, didn't have your hand up, didn't want to praise God, didn't, oh, what's wrong with you? I'm looking at an empty chair. I'm not picking. I had my face this way, so we're good. But look, like, what's wrong with you? That they were engaged, that they were aware, that they were there, that this was bigger than the issues here in this moment, going, I see that my brother and sister's struggling. How do I connect them to Jesus even on a different level than just a Sunday morning? Right? John Ortberg says this. I don't have it up there. I do have it here, though. That those in this world, basically, though he puts it this way, people that are trying really hard to get ahead on the social rung, trying to get ahead with money, jobs, they've missed it, right? There's this that they missed. In the end, everybody discovers that what matters is other people. Those who have friends, they can laugh, cry, fight, dance. Yes, even fight. Dance, live, love, and grow old and die with. These are the human beings who have led a magnificent life. This is what church looks like, or needs to look like. That we look around here and go, okay, I need to hang out. I need to have fun. I need to talk. I need to share. I need to confront. I need to be a part of their life in order to grow closer to God, in order to come here and worship. I want you to know, like, in reality, for me, you know, I would love to have all these seats filled, which would probably mean, guess what, we'd have to have multiple services. Not a problem, let's do it, right? But the one thing that I would love more is if everybody in here knew each other and knew how to be praying for each other, knew how to carry your hurts and wants with each other, knew how to be accountable to each other in a godly way. This is a connected church. Not one that the moment that I pray and I dismiss and we dart off and we're all on our own. That's okay. I'm okay with that. But my reality is this. I want through the week to be a church that connects through the week. That says, hey, Let's do lunch today. I know you're struggling with work. Hey, I noticed that you haven't been coming lately. How can I love on you? What's going on? Hey, I noticed you're not being the best husband. Let's talk about that. It's beyond the surface level of your relationship with God and you and the others in here that God desires the church to be. He calls us to carry each other's burdens. You want to know the hardest thing as a pastor that I don't know why it's like this, but I usually hear after the fact somebody goes to the hospital, and then that person's upset because I didn't visit them in the hospital. They're already out of the hospital, and I had no clue. And I feel like they think, well, you have a divine connection to God, right? He should have called you to let you know I was in at 6 a.m. in this morning, and that I had a problem, and you should have been here to pray for me. And I want everybody to know, I don't have that phone line. I don't. And if I do, I must be hitting the ignore button at 6 a.m. All right? What I'm saying is, listen, in order for us to know that we have issues, guess who has to be vulnerable? You, me, has to share so others can carry our burdens together. It's not a guessing game. God never designed us to just go, well, why aren't you being loved today? He doesn't sit up there and go, I don't know why they're not loving you today and what's going on. In fact, he's telling you, no, get up. Go. Share your hurts, your dreams, your desires, your frustrations, your hang-ups, your issues with somebody that you can trust. But more importantly, you can trust me with them through them. If they fail, that's okay. I'm bigger. God is bigger. That's who I'm saying, not I'm. God is bigger than the person you just shared with. God wants to use that person through your issues, your problems, your joys, the excitements that you have. You are called to be a family unit that is bound in Jesus Christ. All right? So what gets us to the point that we don't have these things? All right? Hebrews 3:12-13 says this. See to it, brothers and sisters. And I like this. This is Hebrews. Hebrews is basically talking to a church that kind of is just like doing the motions and kind of walking away from the what church was early for them of like being excitement. And they kind of lost that excitement of being a church. And like, I don't know if I really want to go. Anybody ever wake up on a Sunday morning? I don't know. You see that? The lake's calling my name. Or the bed's calling my name. I'll have service in my dreams. Right? Anybody ever have that? It's okay. I've been there. I'll be honest. I'll be brutally honest this morning. There's parts of me like, I'm a dad. Do I have to preach today? It was there. Usually I'm out here a little bit earlier with Tim, and he doesn't have that time at the lawn with the piano. It's more of like us talking. I didn't have that this morning because I was struggling this morning to have a heart that was going to be out here in front of you to relay a message that was about him. And I was like, oh, I'm so selfish. Right? Brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Pretty poignant, right? I want to put it in a dad sense. Crazy dad thought process. New believer or just a regular believer decides, I'm going to go fishing out in the ocean. I've seen this done. They got the rod and reel that's intense. It's high weight. It can take a shark to it. And they decide they're going to wade out in the ocean on a floaty. Now, I want you to know, this is a true story. I've seen it. And they hooked a large fish, and they didn't let go and didn't look back. And they got drug out 5 miles. Do you think you can see 5 miles of ocean and beach back there behind you? No. This, I think, within our thought process is how some of us live our spiritual walk with God. We get excited, and all of a sudden we're like, all right, I'll just dip in a little bit. And we don't have much foundation in our thought process. And all of a sudden, the first hook, and we're just gone. And we drift away. And brothers and sisters, we are called to not let each other drift away. We should be on the shoreline looking for those goobers that are living a life kind of like this. That are out there going, all right, maybe, you know, I want to test the water and put it out there. Go. Luckily, a ship came by to this person and noticed that he was in a floaty and had his fishing rod. And you're like, do you want to, like, it's 5 miles back this way. Do you want to ride? Yes, please. Do you want to let go of the fit? No. Right? I think this is how we kind of understand, like, he understood, hey, there's something awesome, but it's going to be treacherous to my life. But this is awesome. Not everything that we deem that we do is necessarily bad for us, but spiritually unhealthy. Let that soak in a little bit. That fish had nothing wrong. His whole plan and strategy, horrible. If you are not ready to reach out to a lost because of the area in your life that you know you struggle, that they do, I wouldn't go alone. I'd take somebody that you knew, that you trusted, that would help you, pull you, watch you, make sure you're not drifting away from God. That's huge. That we sit there as a church and go, okay, I see my brother and sister, and they haven't been here for a while, and I haven't heard from them for a while, and I know life has been struggling, and I've made some choices that I've seen, like, on Facebook, they just started posting, and they're like, huh, oh boy, did you see this? Oh, so-and-so needs help. Boy, I'll pray for him. You know how I said earlier that we wait for people to come to us? We were praying, God, why don't they? This is the same thing. We got to run to people that we know that God loves them, and they've said yes to God, but they're making choices that is not healthy. And we need to go there and grab them before they drift too far and they're lost forever. This is what we're called to do, church. To see it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from a living God. That's our job. When we come together and it's uncomfortable, we are not called to just sit. We are called to tend to God's flock together, right? Another thing that we are called to do is relational and spiritual health. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Two things here. We are called to do good deeds. And I think that's explanatory. We can figure that out. I think that we are not called to just sit idly by, that we are called to do good deeds and love people. And guess what? We are here to encourage. And this isn't the same kind of encouragement like, you got it, you can do it. This is in somebody's face saying, you need to do this. Are you praying? Have you sought out God before you've decided to do this? Have you read His Word? Are you involved in God's Word intensely enough that you know this is what God wants you to do? You're reaffirming God wants you to do this. When's the last person you've done that for? When's the last person you've pulled away from drifting away? Man, see, I feel you. I'm right there with you. I think these are telling signs that we're not necessarily, and I'm not just putting this church on blast, I'm putting churches on blast, that we just make this part of a corporate time through once a week or maybe twice a week, and we hope that God uses it. And the reality is this, God has this much time with you, I feel like, and he's going, please let me use you. Make this time valuable. Invest in each other. Love each other the way that I have loved you. One of the hardest verses that we read is like, if you really love somebody, you'll give your life up for them. That's not just a little saying there. Oh, yeah. If you truly love the way Christ loves, you will lay down your life for that person. Right? Spiritual and healthy relationships find ourselves in this moment. We are helping each other's love and do good deeds, and we are building habits that are encouraging. Right? We're not just having the idle talk. We're having the real talk. We're having the moments where like, okay, listen, this is how God wanted you to be a husband. This is how God wanted you to be a boyfriend and girlfriend. This is how God wants you to be a man after God, a woman after God. Right? Last point, God wants you to be connected to him, right? He says this in Hebrews 13, 1 through 2, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For doing so, some people have already shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. This is the same thought process. The way I live out my life with other people is the way I live out my life in front of God. The way I live out my life 24/7 is in all accounts of how I live out my life with God. And if I'm connected with God, I will love strangers. Because I will be fearful that I'm just running into God and God's people. Think about that. That the people in which God has created, which is all of us, we are all in his image. Think about that. God loves you so much, he created every cell, every hair, every moment of you, loves you that much, and there's people beside you that he's done that to. There's people that disagree with you that he's created to. There's people that look totally different from you that he's created to, and you are called to love them the way he loves you. And it's difficult in this world. And the only way to do that is if you're connected to God. The only way that I can love people, I will tell you, years of ministry have shown me, the only way I can love church people is if I'm really, truly, honestly connected to God. And that sounds so bad, I know. But in all reality, it's you don't want me to love you besides the way that God has called me to love you. You don't. Because if I do, I'm loving you for selfish reasons. I'm loving you with alternative reasons. I'm loving you with an area of my life that's not healthy. But the moment that I decide, hey, this is going to be done through God because I want God to be in the middle of this, nothing but holiness can come from that. And holiness is just another word for righteousness and healthy and good and the best of good that can ever offer. And I would want us to all be in that in our relationships with each other. And the only way to do that is that we put our God in our heart and connected right with God, and we're connected with each other, right? I want to leave us with two questions. I know I've gone over. I'm sorry, men. It's Father's Day. You probably now don't get your, I don't know if you got your lunch appointment. So sorry. God's better. God's bigger, right? I want you to leave with this. Who has your complete trust and you can speak truth that you may not want to hear? Who has your complete trust and you can speak truth that you may not want to hear? Who has your complete trust and they can speak truth to you, even truth that you might not want to hear? Who is that? I want that to be something that you ask the rest of this week and reach out. Let them know. Encourage them to speak that truth to you. The other question is this. What are you telling yourself that if you were to share it with someone else, that you would think you've lost your mind? while you're sharing it? What are you telling yourself in your mind, then in your life, that if I share this with somebody, ooh, they think I'm crazy? And I want you to know that you're giving it power beyond what God needs to use. God wants you to share life with his believers. He wants you to be connected to his church. He wants us to be the church that he has desired us to be, which is connected to each other through God. An intimacy that's healthy. That's growing. Those are your two questions. Stand with me, church. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we are a church that you have called us to be. I pray as we leave this facilities that we don't leave not breaking up the church function, that we leave as a church unit that's out there in this world sharing the light that you put in our life. Give us the words to say this week. I pray that we seek out people that we can trust, that we can know, that will share and pull us back from the shore, the shore that needs, that we don't drift away, Lord. I pray that we have a healthy relationship with each other and you. Lord, I pray that we're connected to you this week. I pray this week you put people in our minds that we need to reach out and share and go, Lord, you put them on my mind. I need to love on them. I need to ask them the difficult questions. I need to share the things in my life that need to be shared and trust in that vulnerability that you've got. Lord, may I be the man and the woman that you have called me to be today. May I be the church that this world needs in their neighborhood, in the workforce, in my house. Teach us to be what you've called us to be as a church, that we do this together, that we love us, that we are brothers, sisters in this together, that we care about the needs of others here, and we carry him. Lord, as we are dismissed, may we go in your presence and seek your hope daily. Amen. You're dismissed, church.